Hello, I hope everyone is having a great week. I just hauled 30 bags of mulch to my backyard, so might still be a little bit out of breath, even though that was like an hour ago. I am seriously getting like gardener fit. Not really. I should really work out, but I'm totally using gardening as my workout. Is anybody else doing that? I am loving it. I've been sore every single day, which is a good sore. But I was also really excited to find, I wanted to do mulch bags this year because I have not been able to find an organic, non-dyed mulch source around me. I'm sure there is one. I just needed mulch right now. The places that I've looked at so far do not offer that as an option. I'm sure I'll find one eventually that can drop it off in bulk. But about 30 bags. They were on sale at Walmart. So I don't normally actually shop at Walmart a ton, but I was looking up all the different places and it is on sale. So very excited about that. And before I get started with today's episode about companion planting, I do also want to say that for the next few days, if you're listening to this when it comes out, Greenstock is having a huge sale. If you're looking for a greenstock for your garden, I talked about them in the last episode of my favorite Amazon finds. But you can buy it from the Greenstock website. And I think that the regular planters are $50 off. And if you use my link, you'll get an additional $10 off. So I'll put my link in the show notes. If you can't find it anywhere, it's in my Instagram bio as well. It's pretty much everywhere. And I also am sending it out in emails. So definitely check that out. I do get $10 if you buy from my link with the Greenstock, but it's no additional cost to you or anything there. But very, very excited about that sale. Considering getting another one. Husband, maybe. We also just bought some more beds that haven't arrived yet because I decided that I have to have a pumpkin trellis this year. And we'll see how successful that goes. But anyway, we are here today to talk about companion planting. Welcome to the Homestead Challenge podcast, where we will finally figure out how to make homesteading work in this modern world. I'm your host, Brittany, kind of crunchy mom and fellow modern homesteader. I've walked the path you're on, navigating burnout, overwhelm, information overload, serious lack of time, and uncertainty of where to even start. But I've also discovered a way to integrate homesteading into my modern busy life. If you're itching to kick off your homesteading journey on your terms, you're in the right spot. In each episode of this podcast, I'll be dishing out quick and straightforward homesteading tips, sharing home management systems, and providing modern solutions that fit seamlessly into your suburban lifestyle. Ready to turn your homesteading goals into a reality? Join me, and together we'll navigate the world of homesteading in a way that suits our lives. So grab that sourdough starter from the back of your fridge, girl. It's time to rise. So I've been doing a lot of research on this. One, for myself, but two, because when asked on our Facebook group, what's everybody's goals this year? I swear like half of people have said that learning more about companion planting is what they're here for. So originally I was just going to like create a printable diagram for you, like this plant goes with this plant and don't plant this plant with this plant. But there are honestly so many of those on the internet. If you're like me, then your Instagram algorithm is probably trained to listen to or to show you gardening stuff. Mine is like all garden stuff right now. It knows that that's what I like. And I've seen like 100 different reels with all of the different companion plants. And those are great. Definitely watch those. And definitely print out some of the really fun printables that other bloggers have put online. I might do one eventually if I'm going to do a blog post about it. I'm not totally sure yet. I just saw a really good one from Homestead and Chill. If you go to that website and you want to print something out, or if you're just, you know, doing a quick check as you're planting. But what a lot of different posts and sites have left out for me were questions that I still had about companion planting. And left me a little bit, not confused, but just being like, okay, well, like, what's my next step? Like, how can we get better at this? So if you are totally new to gardening, companion planting is basically planting plants next to each other that provide benefits to each other. But what I never really thought about too much in the past, and especially as I was a beginner gardener, and by the way, I'm still very much a beginner gardener. This is my first large garden. I've only ever done gardening in rental homes, so this is like, this is what I have learned so far. And if you are a seasoned gardener and I missed anything in here, I would love if you could tell me so I can share what we're missing here with everybody, because I know that it's on everybody's to-do list this year. So with companion planting, when I started out, I really just thought about it for pollinators. So, okay, what can I plant by my vegetables that's going to attract the pollinators? Usually, I feel like the starter companion plant is marigolds, which are great. And yes, do that. I have done that already and put a couple marigolds in pretty much each one of my raised beds. But marigolds aren't just there for pollination. They can actually also benefit from some underground stuff going on with bugs as well. But anyway, pollinators definitely are why I thought we companion planted, and I just never really thought about the million other reasons, like pest control, like weed control, biodiversity, all of that kind of stuff. So I don't know why that was like, not confusing to me, but if you are starting out, start out small when you're thinking about this, and I think that that is a great place to start. Planting flowers by your vegetables. If you have a whole vegetable garden right now and there are no other flowers by it, let's start there. Definitely add those. And you can also, if you want some things that are also useful, planting herbs like thyme and rosemary can also be really great companions for pest control and pollination. You can also plant things like alliums, which are the onion family, for bug control, and potentially, I'm not going to make any claims here because my chipmunks are wild, but chipmunks and squirrels are said not to like alliums. So what I've done this year is I have put some native alliums that I won't be eating but are actually going to be perennials here along the edge of some of my in-ground beds to hopefully prevent some of those critters getting into my blueberry bushes and things like that. Now, you don't want to plant alliums next to some other things, so that can be really confusing. But these are really not, it's not to say that planting something next to something else is definitely going to make it grow better, or planting something next to something it's not supposed to will make it be worse. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that here in a second. And I also did want to mention that herbs like rosemary and lavender are good around the edges for deer control, because there's a lot of different pests and animals do not like the stronger scented things. So that's really the easiest way to remember it. Does this plant have a strong fragrance? If so, it will probably attract pollinators and make pests not interested, which is great. So the number one question that I actually had about companion planting is, okay, so how close do we need to plant these to each other for it to be considered a companion plant? When I researched, the first thing I saw was 2 to 3 rows together. I'm like, well, I don't really know what that means because I am not a farmer and I'm not planting rows. And also, I would assume that different crops have different row sizes, right? I'm sorry, I'm really not a farmer, but I would just make that assumption. So 2 to 3 rows doesn't really make much sense to me. But upon further research, like the best thing you can do is really plant it right next to the other plant, but take into account their each plant's spacing requirements. So leaving enough room for each plant to fully thrive. But with that, I actually want to create a little caveat. Something that I've been seeing almost every seasoned gardener talk about is not following the recommended planting spacing. So you do not want to crowd your plants, of course. You want to leave enough room for airflow, or you will encourage pests or mold, different things like that, if your plants are way too close together. But you can probably tighten it in a couple inches from what it actually says and definitely plant them a little bit close together. And that will also help with the weed control. By having less exposed ground space, you're definitely going to be in for less weeds, which I think we are all here for. And that's why I got the mulch today. I'm so excited about it. But I have to go out there again and go spread it all. But anyway, so something that's like kind of next level companion planting is talking about plants not to grow next to each other. And like I said, I know that some people do these things anyway, and that's totally cool. But if we're like trying to get to be like expert level companion planters here, you have to know why you're not planting these things next to each other, because there can be a number of different reasons why. So if you're new, I hear a lot of newbies making this mistake. I feel like I would not have known this at first either. Don't plant mint or anything in the mint family next to literally anything else, because it will grow like a weed and it will spread all over your entire garden and kill everything else. So if you've done that, dig it up, put it in a pot. I think that putting it in a pot is probably the best way to go with anything in the mint family. That's what I've done with, let's see, I have catnip. I'm going to be putting mint in a pot, lemon balm in a pot, all going in a pot. Do not want it to take over my beds. So that might be a reason not to plant things next to each other. But also, some things don't like alliums in the onion family because onions are antibacterial. So it's said not to plant onions next to beans because it can potentially kill out the beans because it's too antibacterial for them. That's what I'm hearing. I'm not totally sure about that. And then there's also reasons like pests and diseases. So tomatoes and potatoes are said not to be grown by each other because they attract similar pests and they have similar diseases. So if one thing gets them, then the next thing might get them. And it's just not really biodiverse in that way like you're wanting. Another reason why you might not want to plant things close together is going to be heavy feeders. So like lettuces and things with other heavy feeders might not be a good idea. Putting squash and cucumber next to each other might not be a good idea because they're in the same family and they're going to want the same nutrients out of the soil. But if for some reason you have to do any of these things close to each other, just make sure you're actually using some kind of organic fertilizer to bring nutrients back to that soil, because they're going to be sucking it all up. I probably will end up growing those together at some point because I don't have that much room and I only have so much trellis to work with. So kind of just is what it is. Now, again, the question might be, okay, well, we know how close we need to plant things together. How far? They say that at least 5 feet, if not 10 feet apart for these things. I would go by the rule of 5 feet in a small garden. I'm not super concerned about any of this as I have laid down a lot of compost and I do plan on using organic fertilizers throughout the season. And really, like I said before, growing things close together and not worrying about all of that space is really going to help so you can have less weeding in the future. And then lastly, I think this is one that you may not really think about, especially in the spring when you might have less sunshine. And if you're building a garden for the first time, it might not be something that you can plan for your first year. It's something that I'm thinking about a little bit, but really I need to track my sun this year and really get a good feel for where everything's going to be at in the heat of the summer. But some plants that love sun can end up creating shade for other plants. So I'm actually going to be having a squash wall and a tomato wall of plants. So I know where the sun is coming at now, and I'm kind of tracking where I think it's going to be in the summer. And at some point, those wall of plants is going to create shade. And you could actually then use that area for something that might be a little bit more wanting partial shade or even full shade, depending on what you got going on. So using them, I guess, is a different way of thinking about companion planting, because you can actually use some plants to shade and shelter your other plants. So I think that one's an interesting one. I would love to know what you are doing as far as companion planting this year. Is there anything that I missed aside from, you know, what plants like to be next to each other or not? And also, especially if you're in your garden right now, I would love for you to snap a pic of your absolute favorite spot in your garden and tag me on Instagram. I want to see it. I am such a nerd for gardens right now. I keep walking around the block in the neighborhood with my kiddos and creeping on everyone's gardens. We live in, it's really a city. It's not really the suburbs. It's kind of an in-between area. And there are a lot of people that have backyard gardens. It's really cool to see. There are some people that even have like wild front yards and like all sorts of native plantings. Really cool. So I love walking around the neighborhood and creeping on everybody's gardens. I feel like the city should hold like a garden tour day where everybody walks around the neighborhoods to different gardens, because it's really fun to see, and you can really learn a lot from other people in your neighborhood, especially if you're new. So I hope this was a little bit helpful in getting you to think about different reasons for companion planting and not just attracting the pollinators. But if that's your first step, then definitely do that first. I look forward to chatting with you all next week. If you ever have any topics that you want to hear about, whether it is something to do with homesteading mindset, or if it's something a little bit more practical like companion planting or how to use a sourdough starter, whatever it might be, you let me know and I would love to create an episode for you. All right, friends, until next time, bye. Hey, thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Homestead Challenge podcast. I hope our time together has empowered you to take meaningful steps on your homesteading journey. If you've enjoyed our conversation and found value in today's tips, please take a moment to leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback means the world to me, and it helps others discover the podcast. Let's keep the conversation going. Connect with me on Instagram. You can find me at Brittany L. Gibson. The link is in the show notes. Share your favorite takeaways from the episode, ask questions, or suggest topics of what you'd like to hear in the future. For an even deeper dive into the homesteading community, join our Facebook group where other suburban homesteading mamas share their experiences, ask questions, and support each other on their unique homesteading journeys. Just search for the Homestead Challenge community on Facebook and request to join. Remember, every small step on your homesteading path is a victory. Whether you're nurturing plants on your windowsill or mastering the art of sourdough, you're making a difference. Keep at it. Until next time, let's watch our homesteads flourish together.